A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah! On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Welcome in to Gallant George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Once again, the Houston Astros, after we were feeling so good yesterday, Josh Hader comes in, down one run in the ninth inning, and Paul and Sean, he was just a disaster. Josh Hader, this guy, is making $95 million over the next 5 years. And for me, it's too early to be like, this is going to be a Rafael Montero, but a lefty. But Josh Hader, this is not what you paid this guy for. And there's not even a guarantee that you win this game, obviously. It's not like it was a close situation or a save situation. But what a letdown performance, again, from Josh Hader, who has been wildly inconsistent to start the season.
Spin zone. Josh Hader is making the Rafael Montero deal look a whole lot better.
Rafael Montero has been good this year.
How about new money Montero going almost 40 pitches? And actually holding things down against the Atlanta Braves? What's crazy about yesterday is, yes, the Astros offense didn't show up again. But to what you were saying about Josh Hader, legitimately every other Astros pitcher, I guess Brandon Bielak didn't really, did what they were supposed to against arguably the best lineup in baseball. And then Josh Hader comes in there with his now 9-plus ERA, allowing a run in 4 of his 9 outings thus far. And I know some people are going to say, well, he was in a non-save situation.
I don't care.
Who effing cares? Get out. How much of an obsessive compulsive person does a pitcher have to be to not get out because it's not a save situation? It should not be this difficult. And that's legitimately the only explanation that I have for this, Joe. Yesterday we talked about how Josh Hader in 1 year is making about what Hector Neris, Phil Maton, and
Ryan Stanek
would make this season. And yet, he's not as good as any of them right now.
Well, Phil Maton got rocked yesterday. He got 5 earned runs and lost. But it's not good enough. It's not good enough. Like, the idea that Joe Espada should not have gone to Josh Hader in that situation because it's not a save situation.
Oh, yeah. People are mad at Espada over there.
Wrong. You're wrong.
You got to go to Hader.
He's making $95 million over the next 5 years. Get 3 outs. You guys telling me that in Game 7 of the World Series and you're down by 1 run, you don't want Josh Hader on the mound?
Well, it depends on if he pitched the night before, Joe.
Oh, he got 1 out. I know he warmed up. And he got 1 out. And I guess you could have used Presley in that situation, who also, for the record, who everyone's calling for Ryan Presley, was never good in these situations either. It was the same thing. These closers are weird creatures. I don't understand it. It is the same game. It is the same amount of outs.
Yep.
It is the same goal.
Mm-hmm.
Get 3 outs. Whether you strike out, pop out, ground out. Get him out. Josh Hader couldn't do it. And he just, last night, I have no words, honestly, it feels like. Because it looks like another one of these awful committee contracts. I'm no longer going to say Jeff Bagwell contracts because Reggie Jackson made that very clear. It's not just Jeff Bagwell. But Crane, Bagwell, Biggio, because you get thrown in this too now because of Reggie Jackson. Bad contracts, it looks like. It's early on that one for him. But this is not what you expected from Josh Hader when you signed him.
Definitely not. He has sucked. He sucked. And, I mean, it was a night last night where other Astros did their jobs, and it was actually a good game until Josh Hader came in. Obviously, the Astros bats, I don't know what to say. I mean, Yordan Alvarez had a couple of situations where grounded into a double play. He pops out with a couple of runners on, but they couldn't get a runner past second base from, I think, the first inning on. Not good. You want to score runs. The runners in scoring position struggles were back. The left on base struggles were back. But I think it is fair to focus on Hader because this has been a reoccurring problem. His ERA is 9+. Is he going to turn it around? You hope so, but no amount of Jeff Bagwell propaganda, Dana Brown propaganda is going to make me feel good right now because of what he is making. This is a guy that you are paying enough to be pitching, honestly, every single night.
Yeah, and I hate the pitching nonsense we always hear after the game. Joe Espada talked about how his stuff is good. He's just missing his spots. Well, find your spots, dude. You're too good to be this erratic in this moment. And it just... And like Junior Bronco and the Twitch here is fairly pointed out. I don't think they would have scored anyways. You're probably right. Like they probably wouldn't have scored, and they probably would have lost anyways because obviously they didn't score the ninth down by five. They probably weren't going to get one more run.
I don't know. You get to extra innings. All you got to do is get one hit. It is definitely beneficial to the home team in that situation, especially considering they couldn't get runners to even second. It was hard for them to get there.
Yeah.
I know they had lots of situations where runners were in scoring position. I think it was seven. They were 1-for-7, I believe. But if it gets to extra innings, you have a chance. Offense didn't show up, but Hader just basically threw it away.
Yeah.
There was never a chance. Did anyone think that they were going to score on a night like last night that after Josh Hader gave up those four hits in a row? No. And then on top of that, Bielak just beat down his pants.
So in five outings this year, Josh Hader, he had that first game where he showed up and he gave up the walk-off. He gave one run to the Rangers. They won that game. These are his last five outings. But there's a trend I'm noticing. When he walks guys, it doesn't go well. Now, that might sound simplistic, but there are a lot of pitchers we see in baseball. I mean, we talked about Blake Snell for how long when we were hoping the Astros were going to sign him. He walks a lot of guys, and he finds a way to control the damage. But last night, like when Hader walks with that first batter, I don't know, it's not Fromber-ish where it's like things unravel, but he definitely looks way more uncomfortable than I guess I realized with runners on base. Because when there's no one out there, he seems to just look much looser in the moment. But it unraveled so quickly for him last night, and it's just not what you did. And I really can't place any of this blame on Joe Espada.
I think you're spending too much time on Astros Twitter, though. I think you're spending too much time on that.
I don't think so.
I mean, I don't see many people outside of that are going to Joe Espada who know a thing that are blaming things on Espada. I think that right now some people are finding him to be a convenient scapegoat. I think others are screwing around. But I feel like the people that are doing that are idiots. It's not their fault. To what Jeff Bagwell was saying in his propaganda speech that he had on Friday before the Astros completely blew it, hey... Players play. Pitchers pitch. Those guys are supposed to take care of their jobs. The idea that putting Josh Hader in the ninth inning is an issue is crazy to me. You're paying him enough to, again, pitch every single night. $95 million? Pitch every night. Pitch four nights a week.
Yeah, I know that they've used him a lot. I hear that argument, but to what Joe Espada was saying last night after the game, too, is one of the challenges that the Astros are facing is kind of what are their options? At this point, I mean, this bullpen is taxed. So maybe in a perfect world, you don't want to use Josh Hader in that situation. I guess I'm with you. Like, that's what he's there for. Is to try to help you win the game.
He's your best reliever.
Yeah, like you're paying him that way. He is statistically over his career. He's by far your best reliever.
Has the best stuff.
He's got to get the outs. But to the where the you're hurting at times from the rotation still being so poor. You know, last week is like your bullpen's taxed. So in that moment, you kind of have to go to Josh Hader.
I'm with you there. But here's the other thing on top of that. Okay, the taxed bullpen has done a decent job the last couple of outings. They've done a decent job. Now, obviously, things have hit the fan in a couple of situations. But look, you have a guy that is making that much money. And it is his, I think, responsibility to pick up some of the workload because of the relievers you no longer have and the starting pitchers you no longer have. This is why you gave him that contract, right? So he's got to continue to go out there, and he's just got to pull his head out of wherever the hell it is.
Yeah, my biggest issue with last night with using him, though, I will say, is that because it was a non-save situation, he's going to be down today, and you might want him today in your bullpen. I know that's being optimistic that you're going to have a chance to win today's game. And look, like they're saying here on the text line on the Twitch, just like win the next two games and it doesn't matter. You're right. You're right. But it's not. But this isn't just one game with Josh Hader. It's there's multiple instances this season where you've asked him to do something like this, and he's just been unable to. And you're paying this guy too much money to not consistently come through for you. I don't think it's going to be a bad contract over time, at least over the first 2 years. But
I hope it's not going to be a bad contract over time. Five-year contract, it is probably going to be bad at some point.
Sure. That's very fair. I mean, it's a long contract.
He's a reliever. Relievers are finicky year to year. You can't predict guaranteed success for the majority of relievers, not named Mariano Rivera.
Yeah. Blame is on the players. That's where, to me, the biggest part of yesterday's game is, and it's on Josh Hader, but it's also on the lineup. Like you mentioned, it is the same old stuff. I think you're 0 for 18 from guys like Yordan Alvarez, Jose Abreu, Chas McCormick. I can't remember who else, but you just... The lineup's the lineup. Like, that's one thing where Josh Hader, it is a different flavor of the day of what's going wrong with the Astros. The rest of the lineup, it's just frustrating. That's all they are at this point. I don't know how long we can just constantly complain about the Astros not coming through on a consistent basis, because it just might be their story in 2024. You hope at some point they figure it out and they're more consistent, but this is a good Atlanta Braves team. They had you figured out well yesterday. At least Alex Bregman was good.
Two hits. Jose Altuve, 3 hits. And no one got past second base.
Yeah, it is just one of those games for the Houston Astros. And yeah, they win the next two games versus the Atlanta Braves, then everything will feel much better. But Josh Hader, just not good in last night's performance. Your reaction to last night's game, just what's going on with the Astros. 713-780-3776. Spencer Arrighetti, he was pretty good. And the Houston Astros, well, it might be Arrighetti's last game with the team, because the Houston Astros are making a call-up 8 years in the making. We'll get to that next year in Glotton, George, on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
From the 832, pitching coach has to go. I said it before the year started, no one has gotten better, everyone got worse. You know what? I don't know nothing about pitching coaches, but yes, I agree. I have nothing to base that off of besides what my eyeballs tell me. And all I know is that since Brent Strom left, the Astros pitching has gotten way worse. Now, look, we were spoiled. Best ERA of all time in that World Series run that they had in 22. So it's impossible to live up to that standard. But from Abreu to what we've seen from Presley, immediately from Hader, even though he's a little bit different because he wasn't on the team. Montero with Strom, without Strom. I think I'm out.
I'm tired of everyone making excuses for all the players. I really am. The pitchers are sucking. It's the coach's fault. Is the coach supposed to hold his arm in the right spot and make sure that it's the correct motion? Like he's one of those creepy golf coaches that's going to get a little handsy with you, you know? I mean, can we stop?
Why? What's the difference?
It's the catcher's fault. It's the pitching coach's fault. How about the pitchers stop sucking?
But that's how it always works. The pitchers are bad, and then you replace the coach, and you try to make them better.
Right, so they're fall guys. I think it's strange that in baseball, of all sports, that we continuously look at other reasons for struggles when the guys are just supposed to execute out there.
Oh, no, that I agree with. Like, they are, but they're clearly not. So at some point, like, something has to change. You have to make changes when things aren't going well. And to be honest, nothing they've done has worked. Whatever they've tried, the inconsistencies we've seen with Christian Javier, with Hunter Brown, like Framber Valdez, they're just running the same thing out time and time again. Maybe a new voice in the room is needed. I mean, it is worse.
But what's he going to tell them to do?
I don't know.
Stop sucking?
Tell them that's why they're advice. Sucking?
But is there anything that's being picked up? I mean, wouldn't you think that the broadcast would be highlighting some of whatever issues these pitchers are going through?
Sure.
I don't know if it's as simple as you look at film and there's something that's not going on. And we talked about it yesterday. Michael Schwab and some of the other Astros Twitter mafia were perhaps saying, pointing to Yiner Diaz perhaps being a part of this. Sure, but ultimately, I just think this is at the feet of the pitcher. I don't know that another coach, Joe, as good as Brent Strom is going to come in here and make the Astros, all of their pitchers, pitch to the 99th percentile of their ability.
Now, that I agree with you, Paul. Like, I agree that a new pitching coach might not just solve all these problems. But because of some of the decisions that this front office and ownership group has made with your roster, clearly adding other arms to the bullpen is something that's going to be challenging. Like they're not able to, or they chose not to go in and replace 200 innings this offseason. They chose to do it with one guy. So if things are not going to be better, yes, there is going to be a fall guy. Now, and 90% of coaches are fall guys, right? Like Lovie Smith and David Culley are the exceptions to the rule of why a coach is fired. 99% of the time, if it probably it is more than 90, it's the player's fault. It's always the player's fault in any sport. But someone has to get the blame. And as much as I would love for the players to get all of it, well, Rafael Montero's contract is going nowhere. Now, he's been pretty good so far this season, so he's almost a spitty in the face of my own argument here at this point. But something's got to change, and I would like to see if it continues this way through the season. I'm not talking about change now, but if this season is this roller coaster and frustration with the bullpen and the pitching, and it doesn't get better, it's probably time for a new voice in the room.
Hiring a new coach could work. Hiring a new coach could make it worse.
Sure.
I think that that's one of the things you always expect when you are replacing one coach with another, that the next guy is going to definitively be better. But, I mean, there might just be no reaching these guys and telling them to, I don't know, stop again sucking because they're sucking. And they should stop that because it's bad. It's bad when you give up runs. It's bad when you give up four straight singles and you're paid $95 million to come into a game and be the person that's taking care of everything for your bullpen. It's bad.
Bad.
I don't think that the fall guy is going to do anything, though. That's And I think that the way that we're looking at it right now, or that some are looking at it right now, they're not being patient like you are here, Joe. They are saying, make it happen right now.
They want, fire Espada, fire, Dana Brown. I'm sure some of these are sarcastic texts that we're getting, but also the frustration is real with those two guys, and it's real with the pitching coaches, because we all know you can't replace players like that. I would love to. Like these guys who are just sucking, I would love to just tell them to stop sucking. I wish it was that simple.
Can we treat them like I treat my cat? Can we get out a squirt bottle? Bad! That's a bad aria! You're bad! And then clap really loudly at him. The cat has no idea anyway, because cats are little sociopaths. It sometimes works with dogs. Are we suggesting shock collar treatment or something like that? I don't know. All I know is that people, when it comes to baseball, very much overestimate the impact of a coach on the actual output of a player. It is up to that person to do their job, and I get it. There are cold stretches over the course of a season, but Josh Hader is being paid to never have them, and Josh Hader, to this point, has never had them.
Mm-hmm.
Is this moving from the National League to the American League? Well, guess what? You're going up against another National League team. I don't know where to point at, so I'm just going to point it at all of the players. Hitters, hit when guys are on base, when guys are in scoring position. Pitchers, pitch well. And what's most frustrating about last night is I was expecting absolute rock bottom from Spencer Arrighetti. And Arrighetti had a great game.
Yeah, it was a little bumpy there, but it was impressive that they started warming up someone in the second inning. But he got out of it, and then he was good. That was refreshing to see Spencer Arrighetti yesterday. It was the most positive besides Alex Bregman in yesterday's game. That Spencer Arrighetti, like he said himself,
and Altuve,
yes, but he's so good. It's just like
he's 400.
He's an automatic.
Did you see what he did? He did something cool. Okay, I know a lot of people are focusing on the negative, but Jose Altuve has surpassed 50 career lowercase B WAR. So how about that, bitch? How about that? Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, the sky's falling. The Astros are 6-12, which is kind of embarrassing, but Jose Altuve's B-War.
Do you think you could explain B-War better than Jeff Bagwell the other day could explain WOBA or whatever it was, because that was my favorite moment from Jeff Bagwell this weekend.
Jeff Bagwell and I disagree on a lot of things, like roster construction and paying people like Rafael Montero money, but we will do the Arnold Schwarzenegger, RIP Carl Weathers handshake from Predator over those advanced stats. Lame. Don't want to know what they are. Don't care. And anyone who's trying to shove them into my ear holes, I'm just going to tune them out.
Now, Altuve also did something very cool yesterday. It's hard to talk about just besides the
story. Baby.
There was this video before the game, just this kid from Caracas who lives in Houston now with Jose Altuve. I love the way Jose Altuve is with fans. He called over Jeremy Pena to give this kid an autograph. We are spoiled to have a player like Jose Altuve on this roster in this city. Like, he is just, he's everything you ever want in an athlete. Like, him and J.J. Watt are on this level. Now, except for Jose Altuve is a champion, unlike J.J. Watt. Sorry, J.J. But, like, damn. It's true.
Complete drive-by.
I couldn't resist. I sometimes
he's a champion
necessary.
Where it matters. In the hearts,
that's true.
Of champion the people of Houston,
yeah. But Spencer Radiggio was very good yesterday. Like, it was a very positive thing. Now, it might be his last appearance with the Astros because they are. It might be. I mean, we had this discussion yesterday of if he could be good enough to push out Hunter Brown. I'm guessing this isn't a fact. We don't know this.
Tell me what you're saying, because you told me this going into the show, and I thought to myself, man, this roster is being managed
wildly.
In a very bizarre way, best case scenario.
So what I think is going to happen here is Forrest Whitley's coming up today. That we know for a fact. My guess is Spencer Arrighetti is going to be sent down because Justin Verlander is going to start likely on Saturday. And then I would guess after that, then it becomes like Taylor Scott or someone gets sent down and Forrest Whitley stays up, because I don't know if they can send Forrest Whitley down ever without DFAing him.
What if Hunter Brown in 12 hours gives up, I don't know, 7 runs in the first 2 innings? Like,
you're onto something. You're onto something.
Yeah. Hunter Brown shouldn't be a made man. Yeah, I'm with Sean here. Is Hunter Brown a made man?
Like, no.
Because he pitches like Justin Verlander and everyone, for whatever reason, thinks he's really good?
You get your first... We're talking about a guy who really had the first, not even quality start, because he only went 4 innings, but the first decent start from an Astros pitcher, not named Christian Javier, Ronel Blanco, or half of the Framber Valdez ones.
Yep.
You get the first decent one.
I'm halfway team decent Spencer Arrighetti.
And it's like, send him down, you know. Yeah, gotta make room on the roster for Forrest Whitley and Hunter Brown.
I would not do that. I would see how tonight goes. And then if Hunter Brown is a disaster. You
know, is JP France out of options?
Probably not.
Not in life, just in baseball.
It's a good question. I have a question.
Yes.
I have a question.
Paul. Yes, Paul.
Is Forrest Whitley real?
It's taken 8 years, but apparently.
I'm pretty sure that he still has some call downs, because I'm pretty sure...
He never got called up.
He's never been called up.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how that works, but I mean, I know he's been in the minors for 34 years, but... I'm pretty sure his clock hasn't started.
Yeah,
and the Astros can manipulate that clock still too. They can have Forrest Whitley when he's in his 50s. You know, if they play their cards right.
It's true.
That's the greatest Sugarland Space Cowboy ever.
He's such a like 97.
How many unbreakable Astros minor league system records do you think that Forrest Whitley has because he played for 25 years Tom Brady?
That's a good question.
Not that many.
7 championships?
Oh, yeah. You know what?
He barely pitched.
I'm forgetting he pitches 33% of all these seasons.
Like, he doesn't have any records of the minors.
He has been suspended, so, you know, character guy.
Like Tom Brady.
This is somebody that, this is like the Chiefs bringing in, you know, bad character guy. Astros bringing in a bad character guy up the clubhouse.
Hey, what do we say?
Doing some drugs?
If you ain't cheating, you're not trying.
Yeah, exactly. But here's the thing. With Forrest Whitley... Could the Astros clubhouse withstand a bad influence like him, who got popped for...
Wasn't it like Adderall?
Sounded like he was doing Adderall, and I think his excuse was, I was trying to stay awake.
Yeah, it was a long drive. I was trying to stay
awake. Hey, look, man, you're on a bus ride in the minors. I get it.
But I think he was driving.
I think it was during an off-season, I want to say.
King of Switch says, I feel bad for the Whitley family. They're about to get crushed by Joe George Radio. No, he's not Blair Henley.
I didn't say his name.
Well, I mean... We hope he's not Blair Headley, but
yeah.
It could always be worse.
Well,
Can't wait timeout. Can you?
I mean,
you can be a little bit worse.
We had a week of so many bad starts that I feel like the Blair Henley start wasn't that bad.
Hunter Brown might have been worse.
Hunter Brown was worse than Blair Henley. With Blair Henley, I knew we were screwed. With Hunter Brown, I mean, you at least are hoping for like 5 runs allowed over 4 innings.
I'm not surprised, but I am just like blown away every time Hunter Brown takes the mound and gets rocked. Like, it's not, again, not surprising, but it's just like, wow, still doing this, huh?
Yeah, well,
one silver lining, though, Chandler Rome said that Forrest Whitley is going to be used in relief. So it's unfair to compare
him to these
starters.
So, I mean, 8 years in the making. The amount of, like, you can't trade this guy for X player because he's going to be a superstar for your team. And in 2024, after being drafted in 2016, he's finally going to come up as a relief pitcher.
All those guys he couldn't be traded for are probably retired now.
Is Forrest Whitley a top 100 prospect?
No.
Oh. Well, you'd think, like, with him being this old that he would thought to be better.
No, wasn't he, like, the number one prospect at one point?
It works the, I think, top pitching prospect.
Yeah. So, like, he was at the top at one point.
But at a certain point, if you're in the minors for so long, it becomes a, well, why hasn't this guy gotten called up yet? It's a little bit like a six-year senior. And when you see a six-year senior in March Madness, you're like, I know he's balling out. Can't imagine he's going high in the draft.
I don't think that's nice to six-year seniors. This is Van Wilder.
I mean, it wasn't nice to Jack Golke, because that's who I was thinking
of. Jack Golke is an American hero.
Where's Jack Golke? Was Jack Golke going to be around for the Rockets pick? Yeah, he will.
Because he's going to be selling insurance.
It'll be more likely he's at the draft party.
He could probably do your taxes next year, Paul.
He could play in Europe.
Can he?
Sure. Yeah, he could play in Europe.
I'm sure he can.
I don't know about that.
There's a lot of countries in Europe.
That's a good point. That's a valid
Luxembourg. I'm sure they need a couple of players.
Yeah. There are lots of options.
And outside is it Andorra? Of the country. Is that the country between France and Spain?
I hope he likes Croatia.
Oh, hey, don't know. Croatia, that's a top tier. Come on now.
Basketball
top tier?
I actually have no idea. Yeah, soccer? Sure.
We're talking about the basketball league, not sightseeing.
All right. It's Tuesday, which means there's so much stuff we missed over the weekend. We'll get to in case you missed it next year on Glant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Did you catch everything this weekend in the world of sports and beyond? Neither did we.
I do not recall that, okay?
It doesn't ring a bell. Sorry, I have no recommendation of that.
No idea.
Absolutely not.
And now, in case you missed it, with Gallant and George.
In case you missed it, on Friday, it was a lot of bad. But before the bad things happened, Jeff Bagwell told you, Paul, everything was going to be just okay.
Fans, we're going to be okay, I promise you. I know things don't look good right now, and everyone wants to, you know, say this, it's that, and all that. At the end of the day, it's not that we're unlucky. It's not anything like that. Players got to play. And we have every single hope, resume of whatever, of guys out there that have performed and done their job and been great Major League Baseball players. They will continue to be great Major League Baseball players, and we will win. I'm not worried about these guys. They're going to be fine. You know, they're just kind of going through a little part right here, but it happens to be in the beginning of the season. And when it's been the beginning of the season, everybody wants to panic. I get it. This team will be fine.
They'll be fine. They hope.
Joe, he wasn't done. There's actually more propaganda from Jeff Bagwell in that very same half inning.
Think about the positives of that. You're talking about Justin Verlander coming back. We have a chance by, I don't know, end of July to have Garcia back, McCullers back. Our guys are going to start hitting. We're going to start hitting with runners in scoring position, which we're terrible right now. They know that, and they have pressure on themselves to get, and which makes it even harder to hit when you put pressure on yourself to drive in runs.
Urquidy will be back.
Urquidy, exactly. So there's a lot of things that are going to happen that are real good. We just happen to be going through a tough stretch right now. Every team goes through it. I don't care who you think the best team in baseball is, who I think is the Houston Astros. They are going to go through this period of 4-10. I promise you. Every single team. And I promise you we're going to lose 50 more games. But what do we do now with the rest of them? And I think this team is battle-proven. And the resumes are out there. These guys are going to do just fine. So just stay with us. We're going to be all right. I promise.
Hail to the Chief.
We're going to be all right.
He promised.
He promised.
I added Battle Hymn of the Republic to the
If background. They're not all right, can we just remove him from the booth permanently? Thank you.
You're not a fan.
Nope.
Why not?
I like Todd Kallis and I like Robert Ford. And I like to hear them make calls without being interrupted.
Oh, wow. Is that a shot fired at somebody else?
No. Sparky and Blum don't do it.
Okay.
If Sparky does it, it's well deserved.
Mm. It's the guy who pops in there for a couple couple series of
years. I mean, I just like when as soon as Tucker hit his second home run, that's a homer. Thanks, Jeff.
How about Calvin Murphy last night?
Oh, was Calvin doing that last night?
Calvin did. No, they did not talk about the baseball game at all. It was just Jackie Robinson stories with Calvin Murphy.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
they were great stories, but
I'm fine with that because that's like a special.
Yeah, that's a little different.
That's like having a guest in the booth. But he was like supposed to be the color commentary.
Yeah.
Right, and they just did not talk about the baseball that was going on. I know this because I was still trying to pay my taxes before filing an extension last night at 11:53 p.m.
How close did you get before you had to file that?
I was pretty close.
Okay.
I was pretty close, but it was going to take me about 2 more hours. So I said, I'm just going to do this at some point the rest of the week.
Yeah, I threw in the towel this year and just paid someone to do it.
Smart.
I was like, I'm not.
Smart.
Because I messed up my taxes the year before.
Uh-oh.
And I got my 2023 return before I got my 2022 return.
Gotcha.
I got them like 2 weeks apart, but I got it a year late. So I wasn't doing that again.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I messed up my 2022 property taxes. I thought that you just paid it all in April and that I would be able to just use my income tax return to pay for my property taxes. Nope, that's not how it works.
Nope.
That wasn't fun.
Good to know.
That was not fun.
I don't have property taxes yet, so good to know. Scottie Scheffler won the Masters this weekend.
Yeah, he's boring.
Yep.
Nothing against him. I mean, he's the best golfer in the world. He's just kind of boring.
Tiger really sucks, though. He was plus 24, I think it was.
Hey, he made it all the way to the end, though. He just had some bad holes.
Yeah, and
I think he had a triple bogey on one.
It was the least watched Masters since 2021.
Yeah, I guess how much of that I watched?
0%.
Absolutely zero of the Masters.
Man, normally I watch a lot of the Masters, and I didn't watch any this year. They were down 21%.
21? That's actually surprising.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Normally it's like down like 5%, and that's like the... Oh, you know, cutting the cord. No, I mean, this is on CBS, but it's like, you know, people just aren't watching live stuff as much, da-da-da-da-da. But like 21%, you're like, ugh.
That's a hefty chunk of ratings missing.
That's a bad day for CBS then.
Yeah.
Because they also screwed up, in case you missed it, continues the Billy Joel concert Sunday night at Madison Square Garden. It was on CBS. It just cuts off in the middle of Billy Joel playing Piano Man.
In certain markets.
Apparently, it was the majority of markets.
Like, I know on the West Coast it wasn't affected,
but
like, the Eastern time zone, anyone on the Eastern time zone was messed up.
Didn't
I don't know
do
about,
so well. No.
I don't know about us.
I heard that it cut out for us. I wasn't actually watching it, but I saw Greg Rajan of the Houston Chronicle tweeting about it. So, yeah, I guess they're going to make good on that. It is one of those things where, okay, you can still watch the concert after the fact, too. You don't have to watch it live. But some people are super into watching things at specific times, appointment, network TV, television.
But are you guys, like, is that something you guys want to participate in to watch as concerts on television?
I will watch a concert every now and then on YouTube.
Okay.
I actually enjoy going and watching old concert videos of songs that I enjoy and just seeing what it looked like, because it's one thing to hear it on Spotify or something
like
that.
Yeah, but like they just do like this concert.
But a full concert, probably not.
The Eras Tour for Taylor Swift is on Disney Plus because we keep running promos about it.
Some people see it in theaters.
That's weird too. It's none of that's for me.
Yeah. I guess it's better than $1,000 for a concert thanks to Live Nation.
It's got to be a crazy for like a YouTube thing. I have to know that this is actually like a notorious concert experience. Like something has to happen. It just can't be here's 65-year-old, what's-his-face, doing Piano Man.
Yeah. Hey,
Billy
speaking
Joel,
of...
Whatever.
Live Nation, Ticketmaster, getting sued.
They are.
Thank God.
Goodness gracious.
For running
this is about
a monopoly.
Time. Yeah.
Because it is a joke. If you buy, like, $200 tickets, when you go to hit purchase, it says $300. The fees are outrageous. right now. So I hope this lawsuit happens.
I agree with you on that front.
Breaking news.
What do we have?
I hope you like the Rafael Stone era.
Oh, you got extended?
Because Rafael Stone just got a contract extension.
Joe, tell us how you feel.
For what? What did he get extended for?
Amen Thompson.
19-game improvement.
Cam Whitmore.
That's a good point.
I think every GM in the league gets an extension when Jaylen
Green
win 20 more games.
Well, we seem to see a certain untapped, unlocked Jaylen Green at some point this year. Not all of the season. Alperen Şengün, he found him.
He did. Yeah, he found Cam and
Dylan Brooks
took
bargain.
Wait, we like the young core.
Fred VanVleet bargain. Look,
there's just something about him I don't like.
Well, I don't like that he tried to make Kevin Porter Jr. James Harden, especially considering Kevin Porter Jr. is one of best case scenario, the biggest idiots when it comes to judgment alive. Worst case scenario, just an a-hole who is now playing. I saw a video that went viral of him about a week ago where he's playing overseas in what looks like a high school gym.
He's playing in Greece.
Gotcha, Greece.
He can be teammates with your guy.
I think he's actually on a good Greek team, if I'm not mistaken.
Golki.
And KPJ.
I don't know if Golki's going to make that team. I will say, Kevin Porter Jr. does have talent. He's just like an unbelievably dumb person.
I saw he was on a one-month, $10,000contract.
The shortest contract you possibly could be on.
Which is a very funny 10-month contract, or one-month contract.
But what do you do after you give someone a one-month contract, what's next? A six-month deal? Or do you go right to a full season? Because I'm assuming.
This is the end of the season, and so it's basically a rest of season deal.
Makes sense.
Interesting that you mentioned that he's making $10,000 for 1 month, because Caitlin Clark will make $76,000 this season. She was officially the number one overall pick of the WNBA draft as of last night with the Indiana Fever, and she was on Saturday Night Live on Saturday, speaking of things I also did not watch.
Yeah, I don't watch Saturday Night Live anymore.
She apparently was good. They brought her in for the weekend update with Michael Shea, who regularly makes jokes about women's sports, and I guess she had some barbs that were prepared for her. From what I understand, obviously they're feeding her the lines, but from what I understand, she actually did all right. You know, she seemed to be confident up there, had a little fun.
Yeah.
Caitlin Clark, guys.
I imagine a 21-year-old college athlete who hasn't done theater. Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, I'm anti-Caitlin Clark now.
Oh, Indiana.
I'm officially Team Angel Reese.
Indiana versus Chicago.
Angel Reese is now, remember, the Chicago Sky. So, here we go.
We finally have Bird Magic.
It's a Sky.
We
sky
have the
country.
WNBA's Bird Magic. Let's go. Joe, I'm glad. Why are you laughing? I'm assuming you're excited about
because
it.
Because I literally saw clips this morning. I saw a clip this morning.
It's about to be lit.
From the score in Chicago, and they were like, you have Connor Bedard. He was the number one pick in the NHL draft last year. You have Caleb Williams coming, and you have Angel Reese. I'm like, stop.
Oh, I saw one that had
stop.
I saw one that had those three.
And like, you're lying to yourself.
And then they threw in Kobe White.
Kobe!
And Ayodele Adosunmu.
I'm just
the Bulls.
He's the Bulls point guard.
Oh, okay.
He played North Carolina.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm just like, what? Guys, stop pretending, okay?
Pretending what?
You don't need to pretend.
Pretend what?
Like, you care about Angel Reese the same way you're going to care about Caleb Williams.
I care about women.
I do, too. But not
Angel
the
WNBA. Reese, when Angel Reese takes the Chicago Sky
to a championship,
which is something Caleb Williams is never going to do. Then
well, he's not going to take the Chicago Sky.
See, you don't even stand in the pocket anymore, Joe.
Neither does Caleb Williams, really.
But hey, it might work.
It might work too, but I can't be confident anymore.
Who's going to have better painted nails, Caleb Williams or Angel Reese?
Jaylen Green. what?
Nothing. He paints his nails too.
Yeah, it's weirdly. I
might do it just to try to pretend I'm young.
Or I'll do it.
You know, skateboard over my shoulder. How are you doing, fellow kids?
Should I do it at the draft show next week? Should we do it?
Do it.
Just in support,
in honor.
In honor of Caleb Williams being the first pick in the draft.
You have bleep Green Bay or something written on your.
Speaking of, in case you missed it, the Twitchers were telling me that apparently some kid called into the bench and was talking a little trash.
I see that.
We'll have to play that at some point. We got to find it first. We'll look for it.
It sounds like it's between 7:45 and 8.
Okay. Oh, someone said that they actually sent me the clip. So we'll take a listen during the break.
I
wonder if this is the kid that is the son of the person who called me Sweet Boy and that said that his son knows more about sports than me.
Someone called you sweet boy?
Yeah, it was basically like him just like being too much of a coward to just call me gay outright.
All right, so we'll hear this kid talk trash to Paul.
At some point. We'll figure it out.
At some point. But also, not enough time for this in case you miss it, so we'll get to this next. Someone that has been the butt of many jokes, and for one last time will be, respectfully, because he is retiring because he's sick. We will look back at some of our favorite moments from John Sterling next on Glatt &
George. I
will
remember you.
On ESPN 97.5 and
92.5. ESPN 97.5. You are back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
John Sterling, the Yankees play-by-play voice, is retiring. Now, in very serious part of this, it does sound like he is sick, so we do wish him the best in recovery, whatever he's going through. But he does give us some great moments. And if you're going to be that good at something, because he is good, you're going to have down moments. So we're gonna honor him through those moments, Paul.
Let's go.
We have our three.
Top three. Top three. And I didn't actually order these, but top three.
We're gonna pretend like
they're in order.
Whatever order you play them in, number three is your third most favorite.
Okay.
So the pressure's on you now.
Okay, then I'll switch some things around. And then we'll hear John Sterling.
Okay.
And all these, believe it or not, are from the last, I don't know, 18 months?
Yeah, he definitely is. It happens
quite
frequently.
He seemed like he needed to hang up the headset.
Yes. All right, here is number three of our favorite John Sterling moments.
Pitch, 1-2, swung on, in the air to right. Back goes Stanton on the track, at the wall, leaping, and she is gone. It is a home run. They're all waiting. And why are they waiting?
Because Stanton caught the ball.
Coming off the field is Chapman. Stanton never threw the ball back in. Oh, Stanton just robbed Chapman of a home run. Wow. What a play by Stanton.
Susan threw him under the bus there.
I can't tell, if Stanton went over the wall to try to catch it.
I didn't see the video of this one, but there's another mix-up where I saw the video and it's not even close.
There's a chance where it went just right to Stanton there. So here's one of those things where, hey, Susie Dubs, listen, it's radio, it's theater of the mind. Mm-hmm. Don't throw your co-host under the bus.
Yeah, throw out like, oh my God, I can't believe he actually caught it.
I think he got that one.
You gotta help our guy out. Clearly, Sterling's up there in age. And a lot of people don't like him. Personally, I enjoy him. I think that he's fun. There's not enough fun broadcasters out there. The corny liners that he does are way better than all that Michael K. crap on TV. Yeah, F that. I want more John Sterling in my life. Mm-hmm. And Susan Waldman did him dirty there.
All right, here's
Roger Clemens, he's so hot!
Here's number two.
This is Hicks. Here's the 1-0. Swung on, there it goes. Deep left center. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. But caught. At the wall.
Caught himself.
Caught by Tapia. Boy, I thought that was gone. So no. Stanton got close. And he sent Tapia back to the wall to make the catch. And the Yankees come up just empty. That would have tied the game.
Now it wasn't even that close. That one's not that close.
Now I'm feeling bad.
It is like the front of the...
That's the one I saw. And yeah, it's like middle of the warning track.
Yeah.
Not a jump. There's no jump by Tapia.
I just want to hug him right now. I feel bad. Is the next call also a home run that wasn't a home run?
No, I thought
that was going to be number one. So now I can't wait to hear number one.
Oh, no. How long will they mourn me?
And Holmes at the belt. And now the 3-2 swung on. A pop foul back here.
Ow! 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 It really really hit me. I didn't know it was coming back that far. So once again, it'll be a three.
That's why it's my favorite, because he got right back in there.
See, that's why he's a pro.
I don't remember that one.
Took a licking and kept on ticking.
Oh, that was
John Sterling.
That's professional.
The Iron Man. Ow!
I'm going to miss him. They're going to bring in some drip from Syracuse, and he's going to have no personality, much like the Red Sox did, where they got rid of Don Orsillo, who's now over with the San Diego Padres.
Dude, he's electric.
Oh, he's so fun.
The Padres do him a lot of favors by giving him great opportunities to hit walk-off, call walk-off home runs, but he is awesome.
He's just fun. I mean, the best moment, actually, that was yesterday, the anniversary. Patriots Day, which is a holiday in Massachusetts and Maine, you get the day off. There's a really funny clip. We maybe should play this later on in the show, where he and Jerry Remy, the late color commentator for the Red Sox, spent about 12 minutes focusing on a man who grabbed a piece of pizza and threw it at a guy who dropped a foul ball.
Love it.
It's one of the funniest random side bits that I've ever heard a broadcasting team jump on, a la Kevin Harlan every single time runs onto the field.
That happened the other day with Kevin Harlan.
Yeah, he had a chicken wing.
They threw a chicken wing on the court.
I know I have that sound, too. I can find the, I like it.
We'll
the
find
pizza
them.
One. We can do some more best of
Dude,
announcers.
Like, I can't tell if they threw that chicken wing at for Zion to try to eat on the court. But Kevin Harlan, it's like there are just certain broadcasters that just when they're on a call, you feel like certain things are going to happen. Kevin Harlan, something weird in the game is going to happen. And then you have Gus Johnson. When he's on a college football game, you just know. Like, it's going to be a weird college. There's going to be a weird game.
There's either going to be a couple, 70-yard touchdowns, or it's going to come down to the last play. Like, you just know you're in good hands with Gus Johnson and with Kevin Harlan you're in good hands if wackiness ensues.
Guys who are most likely to have a John Sterling-esque end of career, getting excited for something that's not that big of a deal, Gus Johnson, number one. Mm. Number one draft pick.
Like the last 2 years of Gus Johnson calling games, there's going to be a couple okay. Like he's yelling and you're like, I guess that was cool.
Rise and fire! It's an incomplete pass. Oh, he got it! And then the color commentator's just nudging in.
Yeah, Joel Klatt is like, I think his photo's out of bounds there.
Who did they say is doing? Did they say Gus Johnson? Is he doing the NCAA football game?
No, it's Fowler.
That's right, it's Fowler.
Who's also good, but just...
Yeah,
but don't get my hopes up, though. That's Gus Johnson on a video game would be incredible.
Yeah, it would be absolutely electric. All right, the Houston Texans, we know that they had a massive offseason. They put in a bunch of moves. But quietly in the division, the Indianapolis Colts are, we know what they are. They're a good football team. They were right there, played down to the wire with the Texans last year. They re-signed DeForest Buckner yesterday, or in the last 48 hours, and they just took a very different approach to this offseason as the Houston Texans. How much of a competition are they, or are they really your only competition? We'll get into that next on Glanton George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Ow!
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.